a couple people this morning. You know, we sing this song, How He Loves, right? You know, and sometimes we hear those words, and it's almost like they fall on kind of like deaf ears, you know, and we're like, I don't know, you know, I don't know about that. That doesn't really mean a whole lot to me, or you know, okay, how He loves. And it doesn't move us. And the reason why we have such a hard time, I believe, accepting how just radically, tenaciously, devotedly that God loves us is because at the end of the day, for a lot of people, and I believe that the Holy Spirit speaking to some people here, for a lot of people, we just don't love ourselves. And when we look in the mirror, the first thing we think is criticisms. I'm too short, too tall, too fat, too skinny, too unsuccessful. I've made too many mistakes. And we just don't love ourselves. And if you don't love yourself, it's very difficult to accept the fact that somebody else does. And somebody else does so, so much. Somebody else is just completely, devotedly, madly in love with you. And I just want to pray for you this morning. If you're struggling to love yourself, can we do that? Can I do that? If that's you, you can conspicuously, inconspicuously, I don't care. If just kind of give me a little indication so that I can pray for you. Okay? Yeah. Anybody else? Can I just say, you are made in God's image. You are made in God's image. And God wants you to be able to look at yourself and love that person. He does. And it's until we get that part, it's going to be really hard for us to accept that anybody else, including God, loves us. You're lovable simply because He loves you, okay? You're lovable simply because you're made in His image, all right? And when you begin to add other things, other qualifiers onto you being lovable, that's when you start having a hard time loving yourself. The only qualifier you need is that you are made in God's image and that He loves you. That's it. God, I pray for every person here this morning that's just struggling to love themselves. Every person this morning, God, that when they look in the mirror, God, that when they think of themselves, Lord, instead of thinking about how they are lovable, how they're made in Your image, God, how You love them, and God, every person that just struggles to love themselves, God, I pray for them. I pray, God, that You would lift that. You would lift that off of them, God. They are lovable because You love them. You created them. They are a masterpiece. A masterpiece, God. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter their past. It doesn't matter their present. It doesn't matter their future. It doesn't matter their successes or failures, God. It doesn't matter, Lord, their physical appearance. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, God. They are free to love themselves in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free. God never intended for you to carry the weight of self-loathing. That's not a burden that He placed on you. God never intended for you to carry the weight of self-criticism. Self-criticism does not move us forward in life. It just keeps us stuck criticizing where we were. God, freedom, freedom, freedom in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Sorry, I'm not back there to mute you. All right. Hey, snow day, right? Kind of a snow day? Y'all remember going to school on a snow day, but they didn't call off school? There's like three other kids there, and you're wondering why in the world you're there. Oh, man. When I was a kid, you know what they did? We would get together, And if there was like three kids in the class, they didn't cancel school, but it's like an unofficial snow day and you're still there, it's like we would watch The Wizard of Oz. So we have that for you this morning. I'm just kidding. The Wizard of Oz. So real quickly, I just wanted to repeat one of the announcements. Next week, so Wednesday the 21st at 6:30 p.m., we're going to start a 12-week series on Wednesdays. It's a group meeting. It's an adults-only group meeting because we're going to talk about some adult topics. So sorry, kids. So it's really not that exciting. My son's going. He's just so happy to be an adult. So what we're going to do is we're going to have uncomfortable conversations. And so what does that mean? How does that work out? And so what we will do is we will give everyone who comes an opportunity to write down an anonymous question. And it can be about anything, okay? Your questions can be about, if you think that there's an inherent, like an inconsistency in Scripture and you want to talk about that, you write that down. If you have questions about sexuality, if you have questions about politics and faith, if you have anything goes, you can write it down anonymously. We'll put it in a little bucket, and I will draw them, and we will talk about them together, okay? And we will have just honest conversations, uncomfortable, squirmy conversations about the questions that, like the video says, some people don't want to ask, and some people don't want ever to be asked these questions. And so it's going to be a great time. But please leave the kids at home. We want to be able to talk wide open, and it'll be good. And so it'll be at 6:30. If you want to bring a snack to share, you are welcome to do so, but we will not be providing a meal. So just come, and it will be great. That starts next Wednesday, the 21st, because we wanted you guys to be able to go and do something on Valentine's Day, even if it's just to stay at home and watch something romantic and wish you were out on a Valentine's. My boys are kind of at the age now, especially my middle son, where he laments that he doesn't have a Valentine, you know, on Valentine's Day. And so I always tell him, hey, that's okay, you're saving a lot of money. So... but let's go ahead and let's put the mission statement up there. Can we say it together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what our church is about. That's our mission statement, right? We're on mission to love Jesus, to love our community, to love each other, and we're growing in Jesus. We're going, we're serving our community, we're serving each other. We love it, we love our church, we love what we're doing here, we love that God is a part of it and we get to partner with Him. Something super exciting, I didn't plan on sharing this today, but you know what we did? We did something a little crazy. So some of you know this, we started a Old Town Neighborhood Facebook group. So it's just for people who live in the Old Town Neighborhood. And we began to invite people to the neighborhood. But what we did, we ended up purchasing a list of every name and address in the Old Town neighborhood. It's almost 1,000 homes. It's like 940 some odd homes. And so we purchased a list, and we're sending all 900 some odd addresses, postcard invitations with links to our Facebook group so that we as a neighborhood can connect with each other, can serve each other, can bring awareness to needs, can pray with each other. It's going to be fantastic. And then the phase two of that is we will begin having occasional Saturday workshops that help to meet the needs of our neighborhood. So if the needs of the neighborhood are, hey, we need help managing money, well, we're going to do a financial workshop here for free on a Saturday. Come and let us bless you. And if you're like, well, we really need help parenting, we're going to have a parenting workshop. So it's our way of sort of connecting to the neighborhood. I guess we're a neighborhood church, and we just love our neighborhood, and we love our city and all that stuff. So we're so excited. So be praying about that. Be praying. So, and if you haven't had a chance to jump on that Facebook group, let me know. Send me an email or something, and I'll send you a link. So, this morning, what we're doing, though, is we are continuing our five-part series called Hard Conversations. And they are hard. They get difficult. And we're talking about how we can reflect Jesus in the difficult, often divisive conversations of our day. Y'all remember those memes up there? Woo! Man, I saw a few people doing this. I saw those memes up there last week. They were not happy to see them. They were offensive. They were divisive. They were whatever. And but we talked about how God has all truth, but we don't have perfect understanding of it. Right? God has all truth, but we don't have perfect understanding of it. That our goal isn't to convince the other person that we are right and they are wrong. That it's important to try to see things from other people's perspectives. That a person's opinions and politics and religion or cultural issues, those things are not a complete picture of that person. All right? So we tend to see, like, somebody post a meme and we're like, they're just a jerk. We have mentally decided what kind of person that is. And we have to understand that when somebody shares their opinion or somebody shares whatever, that's not a complete picture of that person. That's just a part of them. That's just one of their opinions, okay? And so today I want to talk about what we do when someone's just dead wrong, okay? Because there is wrong and right, all right? I don't want anybody here to think that we're wishy-washy on that. There's wrong and there's right. And I know that, so we live in this sort of like age of tolerance for everything, and it's just not cool to say that someone or something is wrong. But you know, sometimes you encounter someone who just seems to call up, down. You ever meet somebody like that? It's like, up is down, right is wrong, left is right. And sometimes we encounter people like that. And sometimes when we have a conversation with someone like that, it can feel kind of like this video. Check out this video.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
I did.
You didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5-minute one.
Fine. Thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Now, let's get one thing quite clear. I most definitely told you.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
It is. You just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
No.
You did just
no,
then.
No, nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. You came here for an argument.
Well, an argument's not the same as contradiction.
Can be.
No, it can't. An argument is a connected series of statements to establish a definite proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It isn't just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it isn't just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument's an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of anything the other person says.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
No, look.
Thank you.
What?
That's it. Good morning.
I was just getting interested.
Sorry, the 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I'm afraid it was.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
But that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. This is ridiculous.
I'm very sorry, but I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you pay.
Oh, all right. There you are.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you paid.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did! I did! I did! Look, I don't want to argue about that.
Well, I'm very sorry, but you didn't pay.
Aha! Well, if I didn't pay, why are you arguing? Gotcha.
No, you haven't.
Is that? If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up.
Anybody meet somebody like that? Anybody ever have a conversation sort of like that? Yeah, just sort of like, there's just no basis, there's no facts, there's no anything. It's just, you're wrong, I'm right, I really don't care what you say, and then that's just it. You know, you're having this talk. And, you know, from conversations about moral issues to the geography, you know, we've all encountered people who are just wrong but insist to the bitter end that they're right. I don't know if that's just because of pride, just they don't want to admit, I guess I was wrong or whatever, but they would just argue to the bitter end, and we just want to tell them to shut up, and we want to slam the door in their face. But what is the biblical way to respond to someone who's just wrong but insists they're right? Is there a biblical way? You know, what does God expect of us in these hard conversations? We're going to talk about that, but really quickly, let's pray. God, we love you. We love your word. And we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you love us and you love others. God, you love the people who argue with us, who contradict us. God, you love us. I pray, God, that you would help us to be better at loving people who just completely disagree, God, with us, or even people who are wrong in what they're doing, God. And Lord, help us to love the way that you do and see the people the way that you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says this: if I could speak all the languages of earth and heaven, of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Sounds like a lot of debates, doesn't it? A couple of noisy gongs and clanging cymbals just taking turns making noise at each other, right? If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I didn't understand all of God's secret plans, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So remember one thing this morning. If there's one thing you take away, I want you to take this away. And that's that being loving is as important as being right. Being loving is as important as being right. If you're not loving, being right just doesn't matter. Okay? It's so important that we understand that being loving is just as important as being right. Most people, when they're confronted with a passionate argument that just flies in the face of reason and truth and logic, they forget the importance of being loving. Because when you're in an argument like that, it's frustrating, isn't it? You ever just kind of you get in a conversation like that and you feel yourself rising? If you take a moment, you feel the tension. Maybe you feel it in your shoulders a little bit, start to tense up, or your neck starts to get a little stiff, or maybe you just don't realize it, but your jaw starts to get a little tense, or your eyes start to squint, or if you're like me, sometimes you might make a fist, or your toes start to curl inside your shoes, and you just get a little bit, And in your mind, you're just going, God, help me to walk away from this without punching someone. And you feel it, okay? And when you're in the moment, sometimes the last thing on your mind is, how can I be loving in this situation? Especially when you're talking with somebody who's just irrational or unreasoning. There's no reasoning, we don't want people to believe untruths, and I think that's important. We don't want people to believe untruths. We don't want people to believe things that are going to lead them down a path of destruction, or we don't want them to believe something that's going to lead them into something that is maybe going to harm their marriage or harm other relationships or harm their. We don't want people to believe things that are going to be harmful, and sometimes their arguments can be abrasive, right? Some people are pretty good at arguing, and some people just are no good at it, right? They just stink at arguing. And they can just be abrasive, and just sort of like poke at an area that just really causes us to bristle, that really causes us to get angry. Some people just are gifted at pushing buttons. Does anybody know a really good button pusher? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like they know what button to push, and they will push it over and over and over again. And even in your mind, you're going, they're not even trying to convince me of their argument. They're just trying to hurt me with their words. Have you ever been in a conversation like that? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's tough. All right? And they poke at something. But being right about something is not an excuse for being unloving. You can be right as can be, but being right is not an excuse for being unloving. As much as every emotion in you wants to be unloving in that moment, being right is not an excuse for being unloving. So don't misunderstand what Scripture is saying. Knowledge, faith, and sacrifice are all very important, right? So we just read about that in 1 Corinthians. All those things are very important. It's so very important to have knowledge. Okay? Because without knowledge, you don't really know that you're right. You're just broadcasting your opinion. You're basically saying my opinion is right and your opinion is wrong. Okay? So knowledge is very important. Faith is very important. Sacrifice, they're extremely important. Okay? In fact, as your pastor, I want to see you guys growing in knowledge, in faith, in sacrifice. I want to see that. I want to see you maturing in your faith. Those things are very important. All right? I want to see you growing in those things. But knowledge without love can be really manipulative. Right? In fact, knowledge without love can just be abusive. And we don't want that, okay, to get all puffed up in our knowledge and be all proud and arrogant about all that we know. And we know people like that, right? We know people who might want to argue scripture with you or argue something with you. And you know what? When it comes to the knowledge game, they got you. They got the knowledge, right? But they're jerks. They're not loving at all, right? And that's just as nasty, ugly, religious, and I wouldn't want to be a part of that, okay? And faith without love can lead to real weird flakiness, okay? Y'all know somebody who's just got great faith, but man, are they flaky, you know? And we don't want that either. And sacrifice, which a lot of people make sacrifices, you know, sacrifice without love can lead to resentment. You know, and we've all met somebody, especially, you know, when you're a pastor and you get people come and they say, hey, I want to serve in this area, or I'm gonna serve over there, I want to help with kids back there, or I want to join the worship team, and they're not motivated by love, and what happens is after 4, 5, 6 months, they start to resent that they're serving in that area, right? And they get this sense of resentment, and, oh, man, I can't stand that church. I can't stand those people. Because they're not loving, they're just sacrificing without love, and they grow in resentment. And man, that's tough when that happens, you know. And so we want to make sure that what we do is based in love, is motivated by love, because love creates the proper condition for us to make use of the knowledge. Okay, if you want to make use of your knowledge properly, then love. If you want to make use of your faith properly, then love. If you want your sacrifice to be done in a Christ-like way that really blesses people, then love. Love, okay? Because people aren't dumb, you know? People can sense when you're serving them with resentment. People know that. Has anybody here ever picked up on that? Somebody's serving you, but there's some resentment in there? Yeah, were you like, I would have rather done it myself? Yeah, right? Okay? And so sacrifice without love leads to resentment. But love creates the proper condition for us to make use of those things. So what about when someone is morally wrong? There is a moral wrongness, you know, scripture says this, and you're doing that, and you're going, hey, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, right? When somebody is morally wrong but believes that they're right. And we believe, as Christians, that the Bible is our standard of morality, not our culture. The culture is not our standard of morality, okay? And popular opinion is not our standard of morality, but the Bible is. Let's be more specific. What do we do if we conclude that a brother or sister in Christ is deeply wrong in a moral issue, okay? Someone that is a brother or sister in Christ, and they're just deeply wrong. Okay, what do we do? Well, first thing that we do is we choose to love that person, right? That's the first thing that we do, is we choose to love that person, okay? Not to kind of beat them over the head and give them the old, oh, but the Bible says so, or, you know, that's not what God wants us to do. It's to choose to love that person, all right? Because here's the thing that we have to understand in our culture. We've got to get this in our culture. We've got to get this when we're online. We've got to get this when we're talking to people. We've got to get this when we're family members. When out there, God, here's what we got to do. We have to understand that we don't have to agree with the person to love them. We don't. And this idea that if we don't agree, then I don't love you. If we don't agree on this, then hey, we're parting ways, okay? You don't have to agree with somebody to love them. And loving a person is not the same as affirming their actions, right? So if I don't agree with you, if I don't agree with Ryan, because he was out there, he was shoveling, and he blew out his knee, and he knew better, right? Because his wife has told him many times, okay? So he did that, right? And if I'm like, Ryan, I told you not to be out there, that doesn't mean that I can't love Ryan, right? If we disagree, right? And because I disagree with what he did, or because I love him, doesn't mean that I affirmed what he did, okay? Because a lot of times we think, well, listen, but if I love that person, I'm giving them the thumbs up on this thing that I disagree with, okay? And that's not it. That's not the same. So loving someone isn't the same as affirming their actions, but we don't have to agree to love. Okay? Not a single person is perfect. Not a single... Jesus is perfect. That's it. Okay? Not a single one of us is perfect. And Jesus loves us in our wrongheadedness. Right? We all get wrongheaded. In our stubbornness. In our vices. Jesus still loves us. So how can we follow His example and love others regardless of their moral stances? We can follow Him and we can love others. Okay? So, the next thing is this. Talk to the person with gentleness and respect. With gentleness and respect. Y'all remember those memes we showed last week? Was there anything gentle or respectful about any of them? Oh my goodness. They were awful. And there was nothing gentle, nothing respectful about it. In fact, that's sort of, you know, Facebook has created this culture of just blasting each other. I'm going to blast the other side. It's all about dropping the mic, right? It's all about, well, you know, this politician should go to jail. Drop the mic. Oh, this politician this. Drop the mic. It's all about that. Lobbing grenades instead of actually having a respectful, gentle conversation. Talk to the person with gentleness and respect, okay? And so you can love and you can honor someone even if you are trying to persuade them to do what's right. You can still love them with honor and respect. I mean, you know, we've all kind of, I think, learned a little bit about motivation over the last few years, right? Y'all ever heard of, like, fat shaming? You know, that's become, like a thing now where it's like, yeah, in fact, there was a lady who had, like, a million YouTube subscribers, and she got up and she did some video, and she decided she was going to fat shame people, thinking that that was going to get them to get off, you know, and go and strive and lose weight and all that stuff, right? And what happened is, like, she became, like, the most hated person on the internet for a while. Does anybody remember that? It was okay. And so we've learned that shaming people for, you know, areas maybe they need to grow and improve doesn't work. It doesn't. Okay? And so talk to the person with gentleness and respect. Love and honor someone, even if you're trying to persuade them to do what's right. Sometimes we falsely believe that the loving thing to do is to shame and to speak harshly and to criticize. And we think, well, I'm just being loving. You know, I gotta tell him what a bum he is so that he'll go get a job. You know, I gotta tell him how out of shape he is so that he'll go to the gym. You know, okay. And then sometimes we hit the other side of that, and we go and we falsely believe that the loving thing to do is to not try to persuade that person. We go just the opposite. We go from I'm not gonna be all critical and harsh and heavy-handed about it. I'm just not gonna say anything at all. And not saying anything at all can be very unloving, okay? If you truly believe that someone is sinning, then you're showing them love by gently and respectfully showing them where they're wrong, okay? Gently and respectfully do that, okay? Y'all remember, you guys know who Penn Jillette is, right? You know, like that, what is that show that they do? Fool Me, or what's it called? Penn and Teller's Fool Me? You Fool Me? Ah, okay. Anyway. Celebrity magicians, whatever. And he tells this really, really, really interesting story. We showed this way back when we were over at Fireworks. But Penn Jillette, if you're not quite sure who he is, he's a big celebrity. He was on Celebrity Apprentice, and he's a big-time magician and all this stuff. But he is a very vocal, outspoken atheist. So he's an atheist. And I want you guys to check out this story that he shares on his little YouTube channel.
I'm going to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. But he said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave you that book.
Did y'all catch that? Wow. If you believe that someone is headed for trouble, if you believe that someone is going the wrong way, if you believe that somebody is going to hell, how much do you have to hate that person not to tell them? You know, so love motivates us to have that conversation, to have that talk, to say, hey, you're going the wrong way. Hey, you're in the wrong about that, okay? And we don't help people to see where they're wrong with snide comments or Facebook posts or, you know, just weird stuff like that where we think that we're setting ourselves on some sort of weird moral high ground. That's not how it works. It's done with love. It takes respect, which is really cool because in the video, you know, this man who went to Penn Gillette, he had respect. He's very complimentary. He handed him a Bible, said, hey, man, get in touch with me. And, that's the way it needs to be done. It takes respect and gentle dialogue and listening. You know, truly listening to each other is a loving act. And sometimes the most loving thing that you can do is listen. All the husbands say amen. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, a little side note, a little parenthetical. If you're married, listen to your wife, husbands. Listen. And they will feel loved. Okay? So, remember that being loving is just as important as being right. Okay? And the last thing is this. At some point, just choose to let it go. Okay? At some point, just choose to let it go. If you've been talking about this for months, or you've kind of said your piece, you've chosen to love that person, you've dialogued with respect and gentleness, and you've even given it time, and you've dialogued over the span of weeks or months or whatever, but they just won't budge, it might be time just to let it go. Just let it go. Right? In Acts chapter 15, it talks about the Apostle Paul. And he had a missionary companion named Barnabas. And they had a disagreement. They didn't agree on something. It was the Bible says they had a sharp disagreement, okay? And what they ended up doing is they agreed to part ways. All right, we're just not going to talk about this anymore. We're going to not let this come between us. We're just going to go and you take this area with your missionary travels and I'll take that area with my missionary travels. And they didn't let it destroy their relationship. And they ended up just traveling to different territories to minister. And they eventually came together again to minister together. And so just sometimes we just got to choose to let it go. Not everyone is going to come around and see their error. Okay? And you know, if we're really honest, we could probably all think of times when people have shown us an error and we kind of just blew them off, right? Because, hey, let's be honest. You know, we like to learn the hard way, don't we? All right? You know the old saying, if you don't listen, you're going to have to feel. Y'all know that one? I've had quite a few feels in my life. And it's sort of God's spanking. Or whatever, I have quite a few of those in my life where I didn't listen, I had to feel, and it ended up costing me financially, or it ended up costing me relationally, or just whatever, you know, or ended up losing a job, you know. And so sometimes we just got to let it go, and they can, hopefully one day will feel, and move on, and you continue to pray for them, okay? So not everyone's going to come around and see their error. And if you've done the loving thing by sharing with them, you've given it time, you continue to pray for them, know when it's time to let go and trust God and don't let it ruin your relationship, all right? Because you never know when the Holy Spirit's going to allow that thing to come back around. You never know when that person might come to you and say, hey, I think you were right about this. You just never know. But if you continue to badger, trust me when I say it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good, all right? And so today what I want to do, I want to pray this morning. And we got just a couple minutes, but I want to pray for you this morning. If you have somebody in your life that just refuses to let go of that sin, maybe you got somebody in your life, they've got an addiction and they're just not letting it go, or they're making a continuous choice and they're not letting it go, and you've talked to them about it, you love them, you've prayed for them, but they've got this sin in their life and they're just not letting it go. I want to pray for you if you've got somebody like that in your life. Okay? Is that all right? Okay? Don't all look at me like deer in the headlights. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? And so if that's you, let's just do this. Let's love each other. If you've got someone like that in your life, well, just stand up with me. Okay? And I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God gives you the strength, that God gives you the vision, that God gives you the patience, that God gives you the prayers, that God opens up and changes and softens the heart of that person, okay? And so, man, it can be such a heartbreaking scenario, okay? I've got a close family member in my life who's an alcoholic. And man, it's like you can't have a family get together. You can't do anything as a get together without watching that person drink a case or two of beer. And it's hard. It's hard watching them just wreck their liver, wreck their life, make poor decisions. And man, so I'm standing with you. You know, it can just be so hard. And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God gives you strength and vision and wisdom. So if somebody's standing nearby you, would you mind just kind of just reach, just pray for them, all right? Pray, be the church, okay? Look around. If there's somebody standing nearby, go ahead and put your hand on them and pray for them. We want to be the church, okay? So let's pray together. Let's pray together. God, I pray for every person here that's standing, that has someone in their life that is just, they're stuck. or they're doing something destructive, they're doing something sinful, they're doing something that's wrong, or they have just wrong beliefs that are guiding them in negative ways, God, and they're just not seeing it, God. We pray, Lord, for humility for those people. We pray, God, that you would humbly, that you'd help them to humbly open their eyes and to gain your perspective and to be open to what you have to say and lead in their lives. God, I pray for everybody standing, Lord. I pray that they would be able to have those loving, respectful conversations. Well, I pray for everybody who hasn't said anything because they're afraid of it damaging the relationship or because they're afraid of getting lashed back, God, or something like that. I pray, Lord, that they would be loving, that they would understand that the loving thing to do is to have that respectful, gentle conversation. And Lord, I do pray for love amongst people who disagree on things. Love, God. That love would be our motivation. Love, love, love. God, we pray, Lord, for freedom, for those who are bound by addiction, for those who are bound by poor choices and bad choices and being led by erroneous beliefs, God, we pray, God, that you would set them free. Freedom, freedom, God, for the people in our lives who are bound by these things. God, you are large and in charge. And Lord, help us to know when to speak and when to drop it. Help us to know, God, you are awesome. Grace, 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 and more grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you guys, we're going to wrap up with a song. And if you need prayer this morning for anything, we got a prayer team back there. And maybe you want to go get prayer because you got a person like that in your life and you're like, hey, I just want another prayer. I want somebody just to pray with me one-on-one. We've got our prayer team back there this morning. They are fully staffed. They would love to pray for you for any need at all. Okay? All right.